This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. We'll be talking about the Pandora Papers because this was a real revelation yesterday. 2.9 terabytes of confidential financial files that were anonymously leaked to the Investigative Consortium of Investigative Journalists, otherwise known as ICIJ.
The dump is made up of more than 11.9 million documents and other records from 14 offshore service providers that set up and manage shell companies and trusts in tax havens around the globe. Now, further investigations into the records has revealed the offshore financial assets of dozens of world leaders, including Malaysian politicians and corporate figures. Malaysia Kini is part of the ICIJ and has been instrumental in reporting on how Malaysians feature in these financial files. So who are these Malaysians that were leaked? Well, they include Finance Minister Tengku Datuk Sri Zaful Zainal Abidin, Deputy Finance Minister Yamani Hafiz Musa, UMNO President Datuk Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, and Westport Executive Chairperson G. Gananingam. So what's the significance of these leaks? And how does this intricate web of setting up offshore firms work?
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Virendrajit Singh, Chairman of Tricor Malaysia. Good morning, sir. Now, some of the names that were implicated in the Pandora Papers have maintained that there's nothing shady or illegal about owning offshore firms set up in tax havens. But could you break it down for us? At what point does this become an issue of legality?
Morning. Thank you for having me. Before I address that, it's very interesting for us to note that all the leaks that have occurred over the years are all named as with the letter P, all right? So Panama, Paradise, and now this one. So it's interesting, and it's all by the ICIJ, all right? Okay, so let's move to the question proper. Number one is there's nothing illegal at first glance about having a company in the Bahamas or BVI and so on, all these so-called tax havens, which are nowadays called offshore financial centers. That's the terminology now. We try to get away from the term tax havens, all right? Now, why is it, I think, why are these locations or jurisdictions used to hold investments or to hold money? Because of the simplicity of the rules, because of the ease of transfer in and out, because of low tax and or no taxes at all. So it is so much more easier to set up, so much more to allow the flows through without taxes. So now, when you talk about, is it illegal? No, it's not illegal. No country says that their citizens or their corporations cannot set up an account or set up an entity in these islands around the world, which are called offshore financial centers. So there's nothing illegal. So if that is not made illegal by your country of residence, then there's nothing, no laws you're breaking. However, the issue will be that if you are flowing money through into those entities which are incorporated in, let's say, BVI, the question for the country from which the money is coming out from will be whether the funds are from legal sources or from tax sources, or are they from sources which are somehow managed to escape taxation. And that's the only real thing from the context of Malaysia or any country to look at. So illegality would be the proceeds themselves going out. Number one, if you go out, you know, how can you go through the banking system? Unfortunately, that's always ways and means. For the tax authorities, it's about, is this from illegal proceeds? That's the issue, yeah.
So the process is not a problem. The source potentially is. Do you think this will result in perhaps an investigation by the Inland Revenue being triggered on many of these Malaysian figures that were unearthed?
Yeah, I think when the Panama and all the other leaks were coming out, obviously this is important information and the Inland Revenue authorities do have it and they may look at it, but they may look at it from the point of view of looking at the profile of the person. Is the profile in the Inland Revenue Board, they have the data of the past, you have been declaring, you know, lots of revenue, you're paying taxes and it looks reasonable, then there's no reason for them to even raise a question. Because number one is, this is about entities that you have in those jurisdictions in which you may be a director or a shareholder. So number one, there's nothing illegal. Therefore, there's no reason why the authority should even investigate. But what they should be interested in is perhaps the entities themselves, the funds that they have accounts there as well, how much money is there and where did it come from? And you also need to look at the issue of the fact that this particular entity owned by a corporation or owned by an individual may have business interests overseas. And therefore, the money there is coming from those overseas enterprises and not from Malaysia. So the authorities can look into it, but it's not enough data for them to imply that someone has broken their tax laws. So yes, it's additional piece of information that they can use together with all the other pieces of information that flows to the Inland Revenue Board.
Okay, let's take a step back. Can we compare how this Pandora Papers compare it against the 2016 Panama Papers leak? How severe is this one, and were there any actions taken against any Malaysians in the Panama Paper leak at that time?
Yeah. The other interesting fact about this, Xiaoning, is the fact that the leak is again from a Panama firm. And so that's another story. So these are all legal firms who help set up entities. I don't think we will ever know whether the Inland Revenue has investigated anyone from the past leaks, because this is confidential information and will not be cannot be made public, right? So the Inland Revenue tax information from the Inland Revenue Board is confidential, protected by the Income Tax Act. So we don't really know. But I give you another example. When you had the other aspect of information sharing by countries on residents of Malaysia having bank accounts in those countries, and this was shared with the government to government, and there then you have the Inland Revenue using the information and raising questions. Yes, I'm aware that Inland Revenue has used that a lot and raised questions on individuals. So the Panama, the Paradise, and all these papers that we are looking at leaks probably will be. It's just, like I said, one of the information pieces that the Inland Revenue has to piece together. But I'm not aware of anyone who's been investigated for that, because number one is the entity, setting up an entity in those jurisdictions is not illegal, and many use it for business purposes. So the assumption that this is illegal is not proven as yet. You have to dig further to find out about the source of funds, if at all this came from Malaysia, because it could be that the source of funds in the BVI entity are from overseas as well. And remember one thing, in the Malaysian context, we only tax whatever is earned in Malaysia, and we don't tax whatever is earned overseas, because we have a territorial scope of system of tax. So that's also important. I just wanted to allude to the fact that this kind of information is much more useful to a country which has a world income scope like the US. And so the US will be interested, because citizens, I suppose, of the US, wherever they are, wherever they earn the revenue from or income, are supposed to declare it in their US tax return. So even if you earn some money through investments through a BVI company, and then the money comes to BVI and doesn't go to the US, you're supposed to declare this. And this is where citizens may not have declared. So the US, therefore, is one of those examples we'll be very interested in knowing a lot more because of their scope of taxation.
So just really quickly, Dr. Rindijit, in Malaysia specifically, what can we do to stop these loopholes, since we're under so much pressure to widen the tax base?
Well, firstly, the issue really is about reporting whatever, you know, whether Inland Revenue has got a full picture of the earnings of individuals, earnings of entities, and so on, right? And is being reported. And after that, they are investing that money out. So that's totally fine. So that's not a loophole. That is simply using funds that you have paid tax on and then reinvesting it overseas, all right? The challenge here is that the Malaysian tax authorities, like many other authorities in developing countries, do not have access to bank accounts because of confidentiality and all that. This is something you may want to have a word with Bank Negara and so on, but because the accessibility, you know, confidentiality and all that. So the Inland Revenue Board doesn't have access to it and cannot see a full picture. They only can do that when they have cost to investigate a particular individual entity, then they seek permission to have access to the banking accounts. So one of the ways really is about having a full picture, but this is like, this will become like Big Brother watching over you. And then many human rights activists will probably object to this. But that's the only way for the authorities, tax authorities in Malaysia to and any other country to see whether funds are moving in and out and are they from legitimate sources. They may have to raise more questions, but at least they will see flows and they can raise questions. So, but it can lead to a lot of unnecessary issues for those individuals because illegitimate flow of funds, all kinds of questions are coming. Okay. You need to prove the legitimacy. So but that's the only way you can do it.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Virendrajit Singh, chairman of Tricom Malaysia, explaining to us how offshore financial centres actually work, because tax havens, that's not the right word anymore. We need to change our terminology. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.